The message that I have for today is entitled "Prepare to Rule in the Kingdom of God," and sometimes it seems like messages that we come up with are things that we've probably heard before, but then I'm always reminded what Peter said in 2 Peter, where he says in the first chapter, where he says, you know, he mentions all these things, and he said, "I know you know these things, but I'm going to remind you again of them." And so as long as I'm in this tent or alive, I'm going to remind you. So I guess maybe that's what we do when we have our messages and wonder sometimes, well, they've heard it, but maybe not in this way or whatever. So we'll prepare to rule in the kingdom of God. And that is our church's destiny. It's always been to be in the kingdom of God. We are the church, the people that are in the church, and we want to be there, and we're to rule a royal priesthood. And we'll turn over to 1 Peter 2:9 and just read that again. It's an amazing thing. Every time I read that, I want, you know, this is talking about each one of us. We're a royal priesthood. It says in verse 9 of 1 Peter, second chapter, "But you are a chosen generation." We're chosen for this job. "We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light." And you think about what's being said there and how we're here in a world that is in darkness and getting darker and more chaotic as each day, it seems. And so we're chosen. And it's an amazing thing to realize and to we can read this and say, yeah, I read that lots of times, and kind of begin to say, oh, yeah, well, I know I'm a chosen generation, royal priesthood. But just think of the significance of what is being said. We're to rule with Jesus Christ. How awesome and how daunting is that? You think about that. We're going to be ruling with Christ. He created the whole universe. He created us. And we're going to rule with him. It's easy to say we're going to be in the kingdom of God, but we're going to be with Christ. He's going to be watching. You know, he's going to be there. And we have to do it his way. So we need to be ready. We need to be able to do that. In Luke 19 and verse 17. It's the parable of the minas. And Christ says that we will rule over several cities. 19 and verse 17. And this is the parable of the minas. And then the first man came. He said, "Say, Master, your minas earned 10 minas." And he said to him, "Well done, good servant. Because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities." Think about that. If we're going to be in the kingdom of God over 10 cities, and I thought about it, and 10 cities, I don't know if I could handle one. When you stop to think about all that's involved in ruling and taking care of a city full of people. And so it's really daunting to think about what we're going to be doing. How would we rule a city? Well, actually, the way we do that is we need to prepare to do that. Get educated. That's what we do for any job, isn't it? We go to school, or we go to on-the-job training or whatever. Some way you learn to do the job. And so we have to do that, learn to do that job. And we're in preparation now to do the job of ruling in the kingdom of God. So how well we can apply ourselves to the lessons that we learn to study and participate and be involved in the work that God has for us, the better we will be able to do our job in the time of the restoration, as it says in Acts, the restoration of all things. So what can we do to prepare for service in the kingdom of God? I've listed some things, and not in any particular order, but I was just thinking things that that would be helpful in preparing ourselves for this job. And I think one of the things that, and we've been doing that, and that's doing the work of preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. That's what the church has been doing, the work. Mr. Armstrong would talk about the work and how we would go out to the world, and that's been going on ever since Christ established the church, you know, a couple thousand years ago. And that's our work today. This church is to do that, preaching and teaching and living the way that God did. And doesn't that help us to then to prepare for the things that we will have to do as we get into the actual kingdom of God? That's our work today, this church, this little flock. And I always think back to that first sermon that we heard here that Mr. Rapp gave about the separating out. And we've separated out a little flock. And we're to be doing that work. This is the church of God. God's leading. Christ is leading this church, us, these that have been called or separated out, a small flock. And we have that same commission to preach to the world. And we're going to be doing, I'm glad to hear what Mr. Moranville said about the internet, because I do think that is a powerful way that we're going to be able to be doing this work. And in all, you know, if it's done right and linked together, just think of the magnitude and the reach that that internet has. And we'll continue to do that work. And in doing that, we're preparing, I think, to be in the kingdom of God. That commission that we have in Matthew 28. Again, I know that you've read this section. We've read it many, many, many times. But this is our commission, what we're supposed to be doing, what Christ asked the disciples to do. And we are to do that as well. If I get in the right book here, I'll find it. Matthew 28 and verse 18, and then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things." And when we're doing that, we're rehearsing what we're supposed to be doing, what we were doing in the kingdom of God, teaching people to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And if we go back, and I said, you know, this church will be doing that work and is doing that work and must be doing that work, because it says in Matthew 24 and verse 14 that the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Then I always remember Mr. Armstrong, and I've always, you know, when is it going to be? We want to know, when is it going to be? Well, it won't be. The end won't come until we are witnessing to the whole world. And I think that the internet is one of the ways, a powerful way that we can go to the whole wide world. And a lot of people have said, well, Mr. Armstrong went to, you know, all over the world and met and preached and taught and did these things, and maybe the work was finished then, but then the end didn't come, so obviously it wasn't finished, and it's not, end hasn't come yet, and so it's not finished, and so we have a work to do, and so we have to keep on, keeping on, keep doing it, keep teaching, and do these things. And when the kingdom of God comes, then the things we have learned, when it does come, the things that we have learned as we're doing now will come into play, and we'll be able to teach, you know, the people, rebellious people or whatever, whoever's going to be there for us to teach, and we'll be able to do that because we know the way to peace and happiness because we've been practicing and doing those things now. So doing the work, I think, is a way that we can prepare for the kingdom of God. another way, as I thought about it, and again, like I said, these aren't in order, but keeping the participating in doing and keeping the holy days, The holy days to me are such an amazing, I call them God's creation. He created the holy days really for us. And it's a really an amazing process that he set forth for us, because it is the plan of salvation, step by step. And we think about Passover, and we're coming up to the Passover season, just a few more weeks here, a couple more weeks. The start of the annual holy days to be, we're going to be doing it. Our Church of God will be doing that. A worldwide association will be doing, participating in this first, the beginning of the holy day plan. And you think about all the steps that God has set forth in this holy day plan system that he has, plan of salvation for us, that starts with Passover. And we heard last week about the tremendous price that Christ paid to make us first fruit in the kingdom of God. And then we know that we have the days of unleavened bread, when we're supposed to be putting sin out of our lives and cleaning up our lives, and to be thinking about this thing. What are we going to do in the kingdom of God? That's one of the, we're going to learn what sin is. And we've heard sermons and sermonettes in the past few weeks concerning things about getting rid of sin in our lives, and what sin is, and these things that we hear help us to prepare for being in the kingdom of God. And then the next holy, I want to kind of rehearse a little bit, go through them again. I know you know what they are, but Pentecost, and it is the next one after the past, after the days of unleavened bread, Pentecost, which you have to do something to count 50. You can't be short or long. Just think, if they weren't there on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit wouldn't have any place to go. But you have to count. And we do that, and we know that we have then on that day received God's power on Pentecost. And so then we have the next, those three holy days, interestingly, are some, Passover's already been, because the holy days are prophetic in many ways, and the holy days, these three that we've already talked about, Passover, Days of Unleavened Bread, and Pentecost, have already come. The rest are still prophetic. We're still looking for that time when Jesus Christ can come, and that end time. That's what we're really waiting for, because then we're going to be able to enter into rulership with Jesus Christ, go into the kingdom of God, the Day of Trumpets, and all that pictures. And then we have Atonement, where we would be at one with God, plus Satan is put away. And then we have the Feast of Tabernacles, which is picturing the kingdom of God, and then the last great day. So God's set up this, what I call as a wonderful creation, created a holy day plan for us. And it has to be done in that order and according to the way that he has set it up. You don't have Passover and after Pentecost. You don't have the Feast of Tabernacles first. There's a set order. It's all been planned. And I don't think any human being could ever come up with such a beautiful, wonderful, sensible way of leading us into God's kingdom. It's a thing that we do every year, because if we don't, we begin to forget these things. And so he set it up. God set it up so that we would do it year by year. And we're going to be then starting into that first holy day season with Passover and the unleavened bread in just a few weeks. And so we go through this system of holy days, this creation that God has for us. And as I said, the Feast of Tabernacles is one. That's where we've heard about the wonderful world tomorrow, isn't it? I remember, and some of the older ones of you might remember, there's a few of us here, that I don't know if it was at the feast or what, but we had a mock-up paper, newspaper, that said, you know, there's been no crime for a year, and there's been no sicknesses. The crops are wonderful, and it was just the picture of what a beautiful thing the world tomorrow would be like. But before all that happens, I think there's going to be a lot of work to has to be done before these things can happen, because just think of what precedes this happening. We're going to have a world that's going to, I think, look kind of like this tsunami situation in Japan. It's going to be chaotic. We're going to have a city, but it's going to be nothing but rubble. And so there's going to be a lot of things, I think, that we need to do before we really get into where everybody has their own tree and to be under their own palm tree and date tree and whatever. It's going to be a while. But the holy days are teaching us how to be ready to rule in the kingdom of God. And I don't really think we know fully what we have to do and how we're going to do it. God will show the way, and God will get the glory and the credit for it. He must. It's going to be because of what God does in all of this, preaching of the gospel to the kingdom and so on, and whatever methods we use. It's going to be the way Christ leads us and how God blesses the efforts as long as we are focused on the right things. He will bless us greatly, and it will go forward, and I think we see that, and I'm really excited about the things that are happening and looking forward to seeing more and more of the booklets and the blogs. And I've read the blogs, and I hope most of you have computers so you can see those and read those things. And it's like getting a magazine article every day to be able to read and see the messages that are really entered into those blogs. What we need to do, change. We need to make some changes in our lives. And, people of the world read this. And I think that if they start, really looking at these things, they're going to make those changes. So, anyway, we have to keep these holy days, and we have to allow God then to direct our ways in order to prepare for this awesome responsibility. And we'll do this with our elder brother, Jesus Christ. And as I said, it's pretty daunting or awesome to think about what to be working right with Christ, to be sitting on the throne, because look what it says in Revelation 3 and verse 21. It says, "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." So we're going to be right there. Christ is looking over our shoulder. You think about that person. It would be scary to me, in a way, to think that I'm working, and Christ is going to say, "What is he doing that for?" But if we've done it, if we've learned before we get there and do it right, he'll understand and help us. And Revelation 17 and verse 14, more of it's we're going to be there with Christ. And in verse 14 it says, the people, the rebellious people before, these will make war with the Lamb. The Lamb will overcome him, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. You know who those are? That's us. Called, chosen, and faithful. And then it says in verse 4 of chapter 20 in Revelations, it says, "I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and the Word of God, and who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years and again." So yeah, there's no doubt we're going to be on the throne with Christ, reign with him, but we'll have to go through a lot to learn to be able to do that. You wonder how you would rule, and I was thinking, do you rule? And we'll have a lot of power, I think, because Christ does, and we'll be like Christ. But I think we have to remember, and I thought about, well, he also has a lot of love, and we're going to do this in love, and not with the power, not with the idea, you either do it my way, I keep hitting that, or else. It's going to be through love that, you know, God is love, and will be ruling and doing these things in love. Another thing that I thought that we helps us or think about that would, that God puts us through is we're God's quarry, in the sense that God is building a church, and he's doing it with people. We're building, we're part of that church, and there's plenty of scriptures to that. We'll look at a couple of them. The church is the temple, and it's a living church then in that way, because we are the stones or the blocks that are in that temple that's being built, and we're to be preparing the way. So we're God's quarry. And in First Kings chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, in the temple when it was being built, I'll just read it to you, don't need to turn over there, but this is interesting, I think, how this was done. The temple was being built. It was built with stone finished in the quarry, so that no hammer or chisel or any iron tool was heard in the temple while it was being built. And so, you know, we are those stones being called out of the world, chosen, and faithful. And we're being shaped. And I said, you know, shaped and hammered. Sometimes we get hammered a little bit hard on occasion. And then, you know, chiseled for the temple of God that he's building. And he's putting us together. And he's calling us out of the world and doing that. And that's what, and that will help us, I think, in doing the work of ruling in the kingdom of God. And in 1 Peter, if you go back a couple pages, since we were in Revelation, 1 Peter 2. First Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Coming to him as a living stone. Christ is that living stone, and he is rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up in a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scriptures. Behold, I lay in Zion, a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. And so we can see that we are those living stones going to be in that building, that temple that Christ is the chief cornerstone of, and we're going to be able to be part of that temple. And the we're being built together, and Ephesians 2, it says that. Turn over to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2 and verse 19. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And you see, if we can understand how we are this part of that temple and built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, which is what the Bible is about, we need to read that so we know what they taught and what they were teaching, then we will know that, and that's what we're going to use and teaching and helping those people that we're going to be dealing with in the kingdom of God. And so in verse 21 it says, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So, are we allowing God to form us in the way that He wants? You know, sometimes we as humans have our human spirit that we sometimes don't like to be told what to do, and so we have to let God form us in the way He wants. Or are we letting our ideas and the ideas of others shape and mold our thinking? We have to stick to the Word of God and to what He's doing for us. In Ephesians 4 and verse 16, I'll just read it to you. It says, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual workings in the measure of every part, making the increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. So that's what it's all about, building this temple, but it's going to be love that's going to make it all work out. And we have to have that love in order to be rulers in the coming kingdom of God. What we're building, what are we building with? Well, as I implied here, it should be by the word. It's the Word of God is what we're going to be building with. By the Word of God, we will make this a non-perishable temple. It can't be straw or anything perishable. It can't be fake. It can't be whitewash. It has to be something that's going to last. It's not going to be a veneer. And Paul emphasized that in 1 Corinthians 3. Corinthians 3 and verse 9, it says, for we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field. You are God's building. Paul and Peter knew about this temple that God was building. They talk about it a lot. So we're God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. And so this is what he's saying to us. We need to be sure we're using the right materials. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will be clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. And if anyone's work, which he has built on, endures, he will receive the reward, kingdom of God. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. Yet so through fire do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? I think that's where the quarry, or where God's quarry, where he getting the stones to build the temple. That's one way I think that we can be preparing ourselves to be in the kingdom of God. One other thing that I talked about or thought about is how we're it's an OJT, on the job training situation. Probably the best teacher of all, because we're doing these things that we read about, that we study about, that we hear about, and then we apply them in our lives, and we learn by that, and we're able to pass that along to others. and we wouldn't be able to do that in the kingdom of God. You know, we've passed the job interview. You know, when you go out for to get a job, then you have to go through a interview process. Well, but God called us. We're here. He wants us to do this job. We passed that interview, so to speak, by our calling, and we're here. And God wants each of us in the kingdom of God. So now all we have to do is apply what it says in God's word, in the Bible, and what we hear, and learn to do that in our daily life. It's a learning process as we go along. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul says here, but we are bound to give thanks, beginning in verse 13, 2 Thessalonians 2, 13. Said, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught. This is important to do. The things that we were taught, whether by word or by our epistle, and any we don't add to or subtract from. We have to teach what we've been taught and follow that. And then verse 16, it says, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and works. And so, on-the-job training, what we're doing, what we're learning, what we're applying from the Bible and from the messages that we hear and what we read and learn in this process is to be used for every good word and work. So this job that we've been selected for is eternally useful. It's not like a job that we can get in this life. You know, it probably won't exist, you know, in a while. This is something that's going to be useful and rewarding forever. And so we have to practice now what we'll be doing in the kingdom of God. And Paul said as much in 2 Corinthians. Verse chapter 1, 2 Corinthians 1, 4. It says, he says, who comforts us in all our tribulations? Well, beginning in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So it's saying there that what you learn, we're going to be able to use that to comfort others. So I said, on-the-job training, very important. And we'll be able to use the information in the kingdom of God, to be effective, to be doing the right thing. And we're going to be, we've been selected for this job, and I was thinking about the Supreme Court judges and people that are selected to do a job. You know how a Supreme Court justice, a judge is brought up before Congress and everybody else, and they all question and bring out every evil and wrong thing they could ever bring out if there were anything. They have to go through such a grilling process. We don't have to do that. because God already wants us. The choice is ours, but we will be judges. And I think we had a sermon recently about judging correctly, whether to judge or not to judge. Anyway, so we are going to be judges. It says that in 1 Corinthians 6:2-4. And we're going to be judges in the kingdom of God. One of the on-the-job training things that we learn as we go along in this life. So we know this, all this stuff, and so it should instill in us a passion and a desire to change and to learn the way of God. And I think it's something that we can use in the kingdom of God. I don't even know when I started, so we're okay. You know, I said we need to prepare to be rulers in the kingdom of God, the title. So what do we need to be looking at? We see, as I mentioned, the world that we're going to be, the world tomorrow that we're going to be living in or coming into right in the very beginning, seems to me would be very chaotic, upset weather, all the things that were going on, wars, disease, immorality, all that stuff that would be there would be very chaotic. What we have to be able to do is say, okay, we can do that because we've learned how to do it in this lifetime, and we can take it on. Say, here, I'm ready for this. We need to be like Ezra and Abraham on a couple of things that I came across. Ezra in chapter 7 and verse 9, Ezra had an attitude that should be our kind of attitude, I think, and or what we think and how we should be preparing to rule in the kingdom of God. It says in Ezra 7 and verse 9, it says, on the first day of the first month he began his journey from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month he came to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him. And we are going into the kingdom of God. We have the good hand of God upon us for sure. He called us. He chose us. He's prepared us. He wants us there. And then Ezra knew that in his time when he says, the good hand of his God upon him. And then verse 10 says, for Ezra, and this is the reason that was the case, has prepared his heart. Well, that's what we're doing. Our on-the-job training, our being taken out of the quarry and shaped and preaching the gospel and doing the work, prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. There's just a lot that he did or that happened to him. Prepared his heart. That's what we need to do. Prepare our heart to seek the Lord, the law of the Lord. Because that's what we're going to have to teach, the law of the Lord. The world doesn't know the law of the Lord, does it? And that's what we're going to be dealing with, the people that are still alive coming into the kingdom of God. They need to learn these things. And Abraham, another man of God, of course, and he says, when God talks to him, Genesis 22, verse 1, it says, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And we're ready to do that. We need to be just like that. Here I am. Must be willing to be taught, to submit to God's teachers, to learn, and then go out and teach and do those things. Do it now, we'll do it in the kingdom of God, when that comes, when that time comes. I came across an old proverb. It goes like this. It says, I hear and I forget. I hear and I forget. I see and I remember. You can remember some of the things you see, but it says, I do and I understand. And so we're doing this work, doing these things, and we understand them by doing them and going through some of the trials and the things that we go through in this life. And then we understand. And if we understand them, then aren't we better able to teach it to those who don't have that information? We're always to grow in grace and knowledge, says in 2 Peter 3:18. You know, and it's a nonstop learning process. Nonstop. We can't ever say, well, I've done it for, oh, see, I'm 73. I did it for 73 years. I can quit. I can't. We can never stop. We can never say, it's over. Mr. Armstrong, you know, I'll tell you what, was he's 90-something. He's just never stopped doing this. You can't stop being a Christian. You can't retire from that. And you have to keep learning. So we're ready to be teachers in the kingdom of God to rule. And we need to practice what we would do and what we would teach. And that's what we're doing now as we're called into this work and seeing all the things that are going on and what will happen. It's going to be pretty exciting, I'm sure, as we go and see some of the events that are mentioned in Matthew 24. Prophetic, tumultuous things that are going to be happening. You know, we can think about what we need to learn by looking at the people around us, what we should be able to teach them. And God may appoint us to do teach our boss. You think about it. You got your boss. You know, like there's some things that you'd like to tell him in a loving way. Or your neighbors or your co-workers, students, teachers, brothers, sisters, nieces, nephews, aunts, uncles, neighbors, well, you know, whatever. These people that don't understand what we understand. And that God, because God hasn't called them, hasn't worked with them. And what do they need to know? So we can think about that. What do we want to learn in this life to be able to teach it to the people that we know that need to have some of this kind of information? I think in the kingdom of God, one of the biggest challenges that we will ever have is in dealing with people and the attitudes and to have reconciliation. This will be one of our biggest jobs. It won't be building houses, streets, sewers, all that kind of infrastructure in the kingdom. It'll be the challenge of dealing with people. For we have 1,000 years to do it with Christ, and then Satan's let loose, and we know there's going to be some more weeding out, or I guess separating out. And so we need to, you know, what do we do to bring about reconciliation when we're in the kingdom of God? One of the biggest things that we're going to have to deal with. So, in conclusion, are we ready to do this? Well, I hope I am to a certain extent, though I'm sure that I think we all must have more, much more that we can learn, have much more that we can learn as we near the Passover and the days of unleavened bread, and we can think of this as a on-a-job training situation. What do I need to do in my life to be better able to be a ruler in the kingdom of God? You can use that's one of the things I think that we can think about. We got to get the right attitude and get sin, keep trying to get sin out of our lives and all that. And we rehearse it every year, and we always find things that we can't improve on and do better, become better at, and overcoming. And so we are a work in process, a work in progress, We're part of the temple of God, the church of God. We are the church of God going into a world with a message. And think of the magnitude of the job we have. We really do. It's a big job because you think 5,000 people and how many billions of people there are to reach. And Mr. Armstrong, I think I started to mention that, but Mr. Armstrong went out to all the world, and since he died, how many more billions of people have been born? Or millions, billions, probably billions. New people out there never heard about the kingdom of God. So we have to go out to the world with a message. It's a big job. So we take the lessons that we learn in this life then and use them to do our job, whatever it is in the kingdom of God. And when we hear our name, we can say with confidence then to God, here I am, I know the job, you're with me, and we'll do it.